Welcome to the Knowledge Chamber. I'm your host, Robert Hess. Now, PDC 09 is fast approaching, and we just got through releasing a new beta of Visual Studio 2010, so of course we're planning on talking an awful lot about Visual Studio at the upcoming PDC. One of the ways we're going to talk about that is in a new workshop by Chris Tullier called Developing Quality Software with Visual Studio Team Systems 2010. And here to talk about that workshop is Chris. Hey, Chris. Now, Visual Studio Team Systems, I'm just kind of a lone rogue developer and developing myself, so I don't really use Team System that much now. I'm developing a team. Sure. What exactly does Visual Studio Team System provide?
Well, Team System provides some teaming tools, right? There's also a lot of tools for the individual. So, in this workshop, we're going to go through a lot of the tools that, you know, the individual that's not part of a team can get a lot of benefit from.
So, as a team of one, I could actually
as a team of one, you know, you can do all sorts of things like write unit tests, but then only run the tests that you actually need to run from the last run. So you know you might run 1,000 tests, but then that may take an hour or more. So there's some new features that allow you to run these tests a lot faster, and only one developer can be using it and get some benefit. There's a whole host of things, and this session is really all about the best practices that the industry is using today to create quality software, but then we're going to take a hard look at all of the quality tools in the new version of Visual Studio 2010 to actually improve that quality. So we're going to be looking at a bunch of features. It's going to be tool-focused, but on a quality perspective.
So then what do you think are some of the key things that people need to pay attention to in developing great applications?
Yeah. So, quality really starts in the beginning with requirements. Requirements are kind of the foundation when you set out to say, what are we going to do? But when you set out and say, what are we going to do, you actually have to know how to pass that off and say, okay, we've done it, check. How do you say done? How do you say check? So the quality, your quality efforts actually happen. They start in the very beginning when you're developing these requirements. And so we talk about some of the proper ways, the best practices to create requirements, doing user stories or regular, IEEE requirements, things like that. But then we add a little bit of quality perspective in there and say, we know what we want to do, but how do we actually verify that it's done? If you're building a building, we know we want to construct these walls, but do we need to push on it a little bit to make sure it doesn't fall over? So we're going to have these acceptance criteria, and we're going to have a system that we can put it into, and it's going to allow us to kind of track things and get a lot of visibility into it. You can do a lot of these things by hand, and that's one of the things we want to show is some best practices, things you can do without the tools. But you can do a lot of things without tooling, but the tooling will help you do it faster, get your job done quickly.
So it's kind of then like having a paper daytimer type book or a daytimer software. The daytimer software actually assists you much more because it can integrate all the information across different layers of the application.
Yeah, so there's a centralization point of Team System, and actually that, as announced yesterday, that kind of Team System name is going away. It's really going to be kind of we're going to be using the Visual Studio brand, but there's a Team Foundation server that is going to collect all these requirements and these acceptance criteria and a lot of data about quality and the limits of your quality, and you can share that with other teammates. If you're a developer of one, you generally have someone that you report to, so they have visibility into what you're doing.
And they know I'm doing a good day job work, and
right.
Maybe at the end of the day,
those green lights on the reports will show up, and that's kind of proof that you're clipping along at a good pace.
So now, before we get any further, I understand you actually work for a company that provides other companies with information capabilities that assist them developing better applications.
Right.
Who do you actually work for?
I work for a company called Improving Enterprises. We do something we call certified consulting, where a lot of times you'll go to a consultant shop and they kind of hand you this body. But we actually have some psychological profiles, so you actually see, does Robert really want to work with Chris?
Gotta be careful there.
Yeah. So we judge people's temperaments based on some scientific techniques. We have past customers with quotes and everything, and actually connect you to those customers. So, consulting in a Microsoft space, we do that. We do training. as well. We have a training facility. We're based out of Dallas. And then also we have a unique service called rural sourcing, where rather than outsource to India, you can outsource to our rural sourcing center in College Station, Texas. And that generally will get the rate down about half of what you'd normally pay for a U.S. consultant. Mm-hmm. But it's in the same, near the same time zone because we're in the central region and got good quality people. So,
okay. So you've got a lot of background of information of helping people understand how to write quality software because you're assisting people or doing it yourself from that standpoint.
Absolutely.
So to a certain extent, that's why you're doing this workshop on how to use Visual Studio 2010 to assist you in writing quality software.
Right. Like I said, there's best practices, and that's kind of what we get from our experiences by helping customers out. But the exciting part is the new tools. So the new tools that help you define your requirements. There's some new things. They're called the architectural tools. They'll actually help you create UML diagrams for designing your software. So once you've got your requirements, you need to make some designs to kind of visualize how you're going to approach software development. You can actually create some UML-based use cases. There's activity diagrams. There's even low-level sequence diagrams. And that's important because it'll lead to verifying that what you've built is what you planned on, right? And there's even something they call a layer diagram where you can say, here's all my components. So I've got a web piece, a business logic piece, and maybe a data piece, and maybe I've got some services over here, whatever your software architecture looks like. The layering diagram will actually allow the tool to verify your real-world code, and that conforms to your original design, right? So as an architect.
How does it do that?
Well, you basically create this, you drop some boxes on a panel. It's really cool. It's almost like you're using Visio, but it's all in Visual Studio, and you're going to drop these boxes, and then you can actually drag projects from your solution and drop them into these boxes. And then it'll look at the dependencies between those projects. You can have external dependencies and things like that. So then there's this validation check that says, if you don't want an arrow going from your UI layer directly to your database, maybe you want to say, I want to go through my business logic because I've got some things in there to do some caching or whatever it is, you can actually use the layering diagram to make sure that arrow never goes from UI all the way down to your database. So and you can actually integrate this with the build. So Team Foundation Server has a technology called Team Build. And you can actually set up this architectural validation, right? This is kind of high-level concept, and bring it down to real-world code and automate the whole thing. So rather than have someone repeatedly check it at their desk, oh, are we conforming to our architecture? Are we conforming? You can just have it part of the build script. And whenever it fails, every time someone checks in, you can set up this continuous integration. So every time someone checks in, you get these checks, right? And now architecture is one of those checks. Before, it was things like unit testing, low-level testing to say, is my code working like it should? You can do those types of things. But now we've kind of brought up the abstraction layer to say, we're going to validate at an architectural level, not just at the foundation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that sort of validation has been evolving over time. When, back in the days when I first started programming, the validation layer was basically, does it compile? Mm-hmm. And, you break the build by checking in something that causes the compile to fail, which means you don't even get an application test afterwards. But then later on, we start actually checking some of the more esoteric aspects of the application.
There was I believe it was TechEd this year, Scott Hanselman, he quoted someone else. I don't remember where he originally got it, but it was an interesting quote. And he said, compile time checking basically boils down to a single unit test. Does it compile?
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of highlights how important quality and unit testing and taking a proactive approach is to it. A lot of people kind of just relied on the simple compile. Oh, well, now my application works. Well, not really. There's a lot of runtime things you have to figure out. So, the unit testing, the things like the new test impact analysis. So what this does is, and this is brand new in 2010, you could have, say, 1,000 unit tests, and it could take a long time to run. But what test impact analysis does is it will allow you to figure out only the tests that have been impacted by new changes to your code. So if you change one class, you may only have a few unit tests that you need to actually run. So rather than having to rerun everything, you can just rerun a couple of them. And this speeds everything up. Mm-hmm. It works on the build server, it works locally. So it's all about, you know, a lot of times people will not run their unit tests because there's just too many if they don't have this test impact analysis. So it actually impacts quality if you can't run all your tests. So the real benefit here is you can run all your tests, you know, all the time, but using this test impact analysis to help you.
Mm-hmm. Help, I mean, you know, testing is extremely important in your application because I don't myself, I find testing to be kind of a chore sometimes.
Yes.
And yeah. It's far easier just kind of, you know, let the users figure out what the problems are with it. But for real productive applications that you're trying to sell and stuff like that, it's very important to take and have these tests. And so the easier it is to run it, I think the better the application overall is going to get.
And some of the biggest benefits are, there's big benefits to the developer, but also, you know, we kind of talk about, a lot of times developers will leave it up to the tester, right, to test things out. And there's some big enhancements in 2010 by grabbing extra data for the tester and pushing it into the developer. So today, when a tester goes out and they test something, they're going to write up a description, right? If something fails, they're going to write up a little paragraph, and you may get a screenshot. That would be pretty rich bug reporting today. And then they'll ship it off in a work item. And then the developer will say, okay, I've got this paragraph, I've got a screenshot, but I don't know really how to reproduce it. And I'm not even sure I fully believe that they did the right steps to get this appropriate error, right? So what were they doing? Now there's a bunch of stuff. There's a new product called Microsoft Test and Lab Manager that is actually a test tool for testers. And the big innovation is the data that gets collected by the tester when they're running things. So for instance, if I'm running a manual test, rather than just getting a screenshot, the when the manual tester is running their test, it'll record a video. So the developer can see all the things that they did up to the screenshot. And then it'll do things like, there's this new feature called historical debugging, where it's kind of like a TiVo or a black box, you know, for your application, where all along program execution, it's going to collect various information about variables and exceptions and all the things that are thrown throughout the application, the execution of it.
Basically allowing you a script necessary to get to that exact same point again.
Right. So while a manual tester or a non-technical tester knows nothing about how to collect this low-level data, now they just kind of flip on this new tool. This directly impacts the developer because the manual, the non-technical tester can just use the application. And all this technical information is going to get captured and then put into their bug without the manual tester really having to do anything. Mm-hmm. And one of the most exciting features is that historical debugger, because you can just open that file up in Visual Studio and you can actually go back in time in the debugger and look at the various exceptions that happened. So rather than you having to reproduce the issue from the little paragraph in the picture, you actually have these low-level debugging information that you can load up in Visual Studio and track back in time and look at all the exceptions and the variable and all this detailed information the developer is going to need to really find the problem. Mm-hmm.
And basically streamline their development process in order to get the application out to the market in a timely mm-hmm. fashion. And so you've gone through the process of getting requirements, doing design, doing the testing and debugging of the application.
Right.
Where do we take it further than with Visual Studio to provide quality applications to the customers?
So all of these things, like the test impact, the historical debugging, that's in Visual Studio. There's other things like tier profiling, where you can see how many times does your application access a database. You know, you can troubleshoot your database connectivity. All this stuff is actually packaged in Visual Studio. There's some new stuff for the testers, but we're going to take, in this session, we're going to focus mainly on the tools that are available for developers. We're going to explain how they're going to get value from some of the tester tools, what they're going to see from it. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of exciting things to look at. All of this stuff, while you're using Visual Studio and you're using Team Foundation Server as your source repository, as your test repository, your build repository, things like that. This data is just going to naturally flow into Team Foundation server. You're not really going to have to manually put information in there. And because everything is kind of flowing into this central data store, you're going to get this visibility into the quality of your software that would be unachievable if you didn't have this system. So quality is going to be the last thing. The visibility into your quality is going to be the last thing we talk about in the workshop. And all of the requirements and the designs and through to the debugging, it's going to paint us a quality picture that's going to be easy for non-technical people and even technical people to look at, understand where are we. Mm-hmm. Is the software done? Well, it could be done from a functionality standpoint, but is it done from a quality standpoint? So there's the kind of two.
So essentially,
two to look at.
A report card that helps you understand
right.
whether or not you are able to graduate or not.
Right. Yeah. So the tools are important, but if we don't have a full understanding of the application's quality in the end, they're only going to go so far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. Well, thanks, Krizy. I appreciate understanding more about Visual Studio 2010 and how your workshop's going to help developers understand how to write quality software. I wish I had enough time to attend that session myself. I might have to learn how to use Team System rather than just being a developer of one.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that gave you the insights you need about understanding the particular workshop that'll be at PDC 09. Hopefully, Chris will see you in the audience and helping you understand how to write your own quality software.